Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon again, folks. It's Joan Matthews coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and it is August 20, 2020, and I greet every one of you in the name, the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He's our portion, he's our inheritance, he's the love of our life. Folks, we are truly living in the end times. We are living in perilous times. More and more, we see the world falling apart around us. And we get so tired, so weak, frustrated, not wanting to do the things that we ought to do, like spend time reading the Word of God, spend time fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. I mean, I think I desired God more before than now, and I know the enemy is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy, and he's trying desperately to separate us from God, to separate us from the love of God. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. He will try everything to distract us, to divert our attention, to tempt us. Even the best of us can be tempted into things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. And before we know it, it's too late. You know, folks, the enemy will come as an angel of light. And the enemy have his people in every facet of our life, of society. The enemy have his people set up to follow us, to track us, and to befriend us. And before you know it, you think that this person is your friend. Before you know it, you're dragged so far out into the water, you wonder what happened. And so, let us be very sober according to the Word of God. Let us be sober. Let us not become drunk with the cares of the world. Let us not become drunk with fleshly desires, but let us just continue to seek God and to be strengthened in Him. Let us just continue to hold on to Him so that He can strengthen us and that He can carry us. I know that there are times when I can't carry myself. There are times when I don't want to pray, when I don't feel like praying, and I have to will myself to pray. There are times when I feel so overwhelmed or so tired. We have to will ourselves because of the battle that is out there for the souls of men, for our souls, for the souls of the fallen angels. There is a war happening in the atmosphere in heaven. There's a war happening here on earth. The war came down from heaven, and it'll continue here on earth. And but Jesus Christ have already overcome for us. We just have to believe that. And this war, folks, is never, it's the battle. The war is won, but the battle is already, is still being fought. You know, this is the residue or the leftover. We are victorious in Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And I just want to pray right now. Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you continue to do, Lord. I pray, hedge of protection over everyone that's listening. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's listening, over our families, over our loved ones, over the church, over the bride, over ourselves. I pray, oh God, that healing be upon those of us who are seeking and searching for you to heal us. And we thank you, Lord God, actually, for healing us. We thank you that you have created our body to heal itself. We thank you that you have created our body perfectly. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the great physician. And we praise your holy name, Lord, for everyone out there who is having difficulty even thinking or concentrating. Lord, I pray, oh God, over the minds of each and every single one of us, that the blood of Yeshua may touch our minds, that you may put a hedge of protection around us, Lord God, that the gates of hell may not prevail, that the gates of hell may not prevail against us. I praise your name, Lord God, and I worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Yes, folks, so we are definitely in a war, and it's a war for our souls. It's a war to keep us out of heaven. It's a war to prevent us from going back to the Father. I'm going back to be reunited, to be at the side of the Father. And there is our adversary, Lucifer, who, you know, his name, Satan and the devil and the serpent, is also called the adversary because he goes up against everything that the Most High God stands for. And so he's against you and I going back up into heaven, going back to be in the presence of the Father. You know, you want to know why Satan hates us so much and why he wants so desperately to destroy us. And, you know, some might argue, you know, what make you think that Satan hates us and he wants to destroy us? Well, the Word of God says so. The Word of God tells us that. I'm going to go back and read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stone of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and has corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Satan was a very beautiful angel, filled with wisdom and beauty, said, I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Yeah, when they see him, he will be such a vile He will become a man and become a terror to them that behold him. His beauty vanished. Satan will become like you and I, a man of an angel in the flesh. But the thing of it is, he knows that his time is short before he become one of us. The thing that he dreads so much and he hated so much. And he knows that he can never be reunited. He can never be reunited with the Father. He can never be back in heaven and be back with all that power and wisdom and beauty and might again. And that drives him so mad and so crazy that if he can never go back to being who he was, then he will make sure that as many of us doesn't make it back. And that's why he hates us so much. Ezekiel 44 verse 28 tells us, "And it shall be unto them for an inheritance, for I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession." So you see, God is our inheritance, and he is our possession. And as long as we accept our Heavenly Father's sacrifice, as long as we accept salvation through the death of God himself who came in the flesh, as long as we accept him and repent of our unbelief, of our sin, of our sins, of our iniquities, then we have a chance to be reunited back into the kingdom of heaven. Because he is our inheritance and he is our possession. And Lucifer knows this. And if he hates us from the beginning in heaven, because we rejected him, we rejected his ways, we rejected death, and we chose Yahweh, we chose our Heavenly Father, which is life everlasting. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, said, "I am the life." When we choose him, we choose life. When in heaven, when the decree went out from the Father to say, to all of us fallen angels that ask us who would accept eternal life through his death, you know, we were given a choice to come here in the flesh. We were told what would be, what it's going to be like once we get here. How do I know this? Well, I know it because I've asked the Father for years. Why am I here? Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? I am here. I'm stuck here in this life. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know the reason for me being here. And I know that you are God somewhere, but, you know, I don't hear you. You don't talk to me, and I don't understand anything, and I need to know who I was before I was placed in my mother's womb. I know I am more than who I think I am. And I ask questions and I really, like really in depth, want to know. And when I ask these questions, I am very frustrated. And not only frustrated, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm concerned, I am curious, and I'm literally drenched in tears. Until finally the, you know, Heavenly Father answered me. He revealed to me, before I placed you in your mother's womb, you knew me and I knew you. You stood before me. I ministered to you while you praised my holy name. I showed you all the mysteries of the universe. And I told you I was going to send you on a journey in the flesh. And when you get there, you will not remember your former estate. But I have placed a light inside of you. And if you follow the light, you will find your way back to me. And we know that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is the light that light every man that come into the world. Listen, John chapter 1, Yeshua is the light. God in the flesh is the light that light every man that cometh into the world. The word cometh into the world. Where are we coming from? From oblivion? From nowhere? Yeah, you know, people say, yeah, the mother have an egg in the womb and the father have a seed and they come together and voila, there we are. Really? Life is more complicated than that. Life is more complicated than that. Just like the father came in the spirit and the spirit quickened Mary's womb. And the Father put His Spirit in that flesh body. We are that. We are the fallen angels that was put in the womb of our mother, and the process repeats itself over and over again until every single last one of us angel have a chance, a second chance to be redeemed back onto the Father's side. Lucifer hates us because he knows that he can never go back there. He knows that our Heavenly Father is our inheritance and he's our possession. And if he can never receive back that inheritance and that possession, which is to possess heaven and to possess the brightness and the beauty and the wisdom and the knowledge and the eternal bliss or the eternal life with the Heavenly Father who is life itself. If he can never get back his inheritance, if he can never get back his possession, possessing everything that he once had, he knows that you and I are going to inherit eternal life. He knows that you and I are going to inherit everything in heaven that is beautiful and pure and good and love. God is love. He knows that we are going to repossess the brightness and the love and everything that the Father has for us. And he knows that he can never get those things back. And he will make sure. He will make sure that as many of us doesn't make it back. God is our Father. He's our portion. He's our inheritance. And Satan, he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. He hates us and will use every deceitful devices to guile and witchcraft to deceive the whole world. He does have an advantage over us, and he chooses his deceptions very well because of his advantage. He has knowledge of good and evil, and many, many thousands of years to scheme and re-scheme against mankind, against us fallen angels who have lost the knowledge of who we are. The Lord said to me, you will not remember your former estate. We have lost the knowledge of our former estate, of our angelic state, of who we were while we were in heaven with the Father. This is what the Father said to me I am going to send you on a journey, and when you get there, you will not remember your former state. If you read Revelation, is it Revelation 2? The Lord was talking about, the church of Ephesus. Got to go back and visit that. Where it says, remember therefore from whence you have fallen and repent. Who is he talking to? Who is Jesus Christ talking to in Revelation? Remember therefore from whence you have fallen and repent and return back unto your first love. He's not talking to merely mortals, because we are not mortals. We are angelic. We are fallen angels. We're angelic beings in a flesh body. We don't remember our former state. But he's saying, remember therefore from whence you have fallen. And there is, I think in John chapter, it says in John chapter 14, where Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us all things and bring all things back to our remembrance. He didn't just say these things just because he wanted to hold a conversation. We have to seek these things out and sort them out and ask the Lord to unravel these things in our mind for us, because it's by the Holy Spirit alone that we know these things. So the Holy Spirit will come and teach you all things and bring all things back to your remembrance. What things? What things that Jesus Christ is saying that the Holy Spirit will teach us and bring things back to our remembrance? Things from past. Things from whence we were in angelic beings in heaven. We are still angelic beings inside these bodies, but we don't know it. Not until we seek and search and knock and ask. Jesus Christ said, we have not because we ask not. He said, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and the door shall be open. And this is what we have to do. For years I asked, I sought, I seek, I searched, I cried, I banged on the doors of heaven. I literally walk in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual realm, walk in the courts of heaven spiritually. Folks, when we give our hearts and our minds and our soul to the Lord, he opened doors for us where no man can open. He put us in places where only he can put us. And Satan hates us. He doesn't want us to return to heaven. He knows that time, the angels are going to sound this trumpet and they're going to say time is no more. And when he gets into that mortal body, he can never go back to being the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he's still going to remember some things, but he's not going to be the powerful angelic being that mankind bow down to, that mankind sell their souls to. They're going to narrowly look upon him and say, is this the man that caused the world to tremble? That did shake nation, that destroyed the world? Is this the man that we give up our entire life for, that we sell our soul for, that we did all these wicked things for? Is this the man? They're going to look upon him because they're saying, is this the man? Lucifer will become a man, an angel in the flesh. It's right here in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 14, Revelation chapter 12, and maybe many other places in the Bible. Folks, he is going to become as weak as us, because that's what they say in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. Are you become as weak as we? That's what they're asking when they see him, when they're going to see him in these end times. I pray that I'm counted worthy to live to see these days. I pray that God give us the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to endure and to withstand. Folks, it starts with loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It starts with loving him. I remember telling the Lord, "Lord, I don't know how to love you. I have never loved you. I don't think I've ever loved you, Lord." I said, "Lord, I want to love you the way you desire for me to love you. I want to love you the way you are worthy to be loved. I want to love you as much as you love me. But as a mere mortal in the flesh that don't know right from wrong and don't know how to love, how can a person like me who doesn't know anything much about you love you if you're perfect? Creator of the universe, how can I love you?" And I literally started weeping, and I said, "Father, teach me how to love you. Show me how to love you. I desire to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind, the way you desire for me to love you and the way that you are worthy to be loved. Show me how." And as soon as I said, "Father, show me how to love you," the Father said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Go to John chapter 14 and go to Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments." Jesus Christ said it in John chapter 14. I believe John chapter 14, somewhere in John. Anyway, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. It is he that love me. It is he that keep my commandments and do them. He it is that love me. And I will love him and the Father, and I will come and take our home, our abode in him. And the Holy Spirit will come and live in you." And the Father said to me, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in my heart, I'm thinking, "Father, have I not kept your commandments?" And as soon as those thoughts enter into my heart, he said, "You have not kept my holy Sabbath day." This is when the Father, the first time the Father actually touched with me on the Sabbath day. I wasn't even thinking that I wasn't keeping the Sabbath day. I always thought Sunday is fine with me. I grew up keeping Sunday, which is the first day of the week. And the Father said, "You have not kept my holy Sabbath day." And I couldn't deny, I couldn't argue. I was convicted right away in my soul and in my spirit and in my heart, because I knew the truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when the Father said, "You have not kept my holy Sabbath day," I just blurted out, "I am guilty, Lord. I have never kept your holy Sabbath day, nor do I know how to keep it. I don't know what it means to keep it. I don't know why is it so important to keep the Sabbath day." And I said, "Why can't I continue to keep Sunday?" And then that's another whole 10 episodes on that, what the Father said. But he said, "If you do what I ask you to do, I will add stepping stones and others will follow." The Sabbath day is the seventh day. And I said, "Father, I don't know how to keep the Sabbath day, and I never kept it. And I don't know anything about the Sabbath day." And I said, "Would you please teach me everything I need to know about the Sabbath day?" And if I tell you the truth, I'm telling it now, that from that moment on, the Lord God would wake me up. All hours of the night, 2 o'clock, especially breaking Sabbath morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes all hours of the night, I will wake up and lay there, and the Lord will like deposit tons and tons of information upon my heart. And there were times that I would lie there, and it would be as if someone is just writing on the tablets of my heart. It's like the Lord is just writing these things on my mind or on my heart. And I'm just, as it's being written, I'm speaking them out with my mouth, with my lips. And sometimes it's so much information that I jump up and start writing them down. And sometimes it's so much that I will say, no more right now, Lord. Let me finish getting this out and then we can start again. It's like data overload. And the Lord will wake me up all hours in wee hours in the morning. And he will write these things upon my heart. And the Bible tells us, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God will write his laws and his commandments upon our hearts and upon our minds that we might not sin against him. And we have not because we ask not. We do not knock on the door. We do not seek him. So therefore we do not have. And those of us who knock and seek and search and find and being taught of God, and we come and we tell it to those, our brothers and sisters, in Christ and out of Christ, they turn around and they hate you, and they say all kind of manner of things against you. Oh, I don't want to hear anything about the Sabbath day. We can keep any day. Oh, that's just religion. No, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. How dare we add to his Word and take away? How dare we say our own thing against his Word? How dare we do like Lucifer in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say? Did he really say that? He doesn't really mean it that way. He just meant that you can keep any day you want. Every day is the Sabbath day. I remember hearing T.D. Jakes preach, and he was just mocking the commandments of God. He was saying, oh, every day is my Sabbath. I worship on Sunday, that's my Sabbath. I worship on Saturday, that's my Sabbath. I worship on Monday. No, you're mocking. The Bible tells us that the Sabbath day is the seventh day. God set it aside. He sanctified it. He hallowed it, made it holy. He didn't do that with all the other days. The Sabbath day is the only day that God named the Sabbath day. And Satan wants us to disobey God. He wants us to put our own saints to it, like in the Garden of Eden, when Eve said, God said, we must not touch the tree, or we must not eat of the apple, we must not. Did God really say that? Oh, he doesn't really mean it that way. He just meant it that this way. This is the same old serpent using guile and deception to take us away from God, to disobey his orders, to disobey his command. Jesus Christ said the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. It cut both ways. We need to obey him. Every single word, just exactly the way he said. Don't add. Don't take away. Don't throw it out just because it doesn't fit into your world. Anyway, I felt that was very important to put that in there. I love you all. Welcome 708. God bless you. And I just thank you all, everybody who would listen to this message, that I encourage each and every one of you, including myself, to just honor God. Just the way he say, for us to honor him. Just abide by his commandments and his laws and his precepts and statutes, just exactly the way he said it. Let us not add to his word. Let us not take away from his word. I know I've heard really prominent people, some people who say that they are prophets of the Lord, they are watchmen, and I don't doubt it one bit. Who am I? And they totally, totally reject the Sabbath day, put in their own words. And I always say, if the Lord didn't give me revelation or understanding or wisdom on a particular subject, to understand it, and somebody come to me and start telling me about it, and I feel because the Spirit of God bear witness when we, if you have the Spirit of God and I have the Spirit of God, and you come with a message of God to me, the Spirit of God in me will bear witness to you, tell whatever you're telling me, and I will know that it's of God. And so, let us not put our own spin on God's word. And if God doesn't give me a particular message, a particular revelation, a particular understanding on any particular topic, then I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Like people would ask me about certain things in Revelation, and I would say, I have no idea how to interpret that, or God haven't given me a clear understanding on this. Let us pray about it. Let us ask God about it. And then after I ask the Lord about it, then that's when I can talk about it. But anyway, love you all in Christ, and let us continue to just hold on to him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and just stick to his word and stick to his straight and narrow truth. Jesus Christ said the road to eternal life is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it, and the road to hell and destruction is wide and broad, and many shall go into that road. Many are finding broad road. Many are finding the broad road appealing, and they are walking in that broad road. They don't want to go in the straight and narrow way. The straight and narrow word of God. God's word say the 7 days, the Sabbath. And that's the straight and narrow walk that we have to take. Not the broad road that says every day is the Sabbath, or the first day of the week is the Sabbath instead of Sunday. So that's just my take. Spiritual take on it. Love you all in Christ, and we'll talk again tomorrow, God's will. Be blessed.